Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined by Craig Mauger, Lauren Gibbons, John Rurink, and welcome back to Emily Waller. Thank you so much for coming back, Emily Waller.
I'm excited, Kyle.
I wish this was a permanent thing, but it is not. Yeah. We invited Emily back to help us with our nominations for our three categories, Senator of the Year, House Member of the Year, and Democrat of the Year. We are not doing Freshman of the Year this year because they're not technically... Well, they are freshmen.
They're not but so fresh anymore.
They're not so fresh anymore. That's the thing. They're still freshmen, but they're not fresh.
Fresh 12 months ago, not today.
We'll do Freshman of the Year again next year. We're going to start over in the House with our House Member of the Year, and we're going to go through some nominees, and then we will name the winner at the end. Some nominees, Craig, and we'll focus first, I think, with Kevin Cotter. Kevin Cotter, obviously the Speaker-elect, and won a very competitive race, and we didn't think it would be competitive, but there was a ton of money thrown in at the end. To emerge from that and then become the Speaker-elect was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great year in terms of his rising political star, I guess. He went from a committee chair who a lot of people didn't know much about to being the next Speaker for the entire chamber, and he won a race, maybe the closest race that he's had in his career, and it knocked out the Democratic candidate who had a lot of money backing him.
Why did Kevin Cotter become kind of the lightning rod for the conservative cause in the House? How did you see that happening?
He ran a great campaign to be the leader of the caucus. I mean, he got his name out there somewhat early, and even though he was going up against some people that had some bigger names in the public, like Al Pasholka, he really worked one-on-one with the people in the caucus, met with them. A lot of people really liked his temperament, and they saw it as kind of maybe a little bit of a change in direction, that he has this very calm demeanor, and he's really a thoughtful person, and a lot of people were really attracted to that.
So Kevin Cotter was one of our nominees that we considered here for House Member of the Year. Another person, Jace Bolger, the Speaker of the House. You know, again, we don't like to put leaders necessarily on the list. And just for our listeners' benefit, what do we consider here when we talk about our legislators of the year? We have three criteria that we focus on, and we have focused on for the last 3 years. Effectiveness, level of activity, and impact. And so any name that we talk about here, kind of viewed for those through that lens, effectiveness, level of activity, and impact. And I think Bolger really hits on all three of those, Craig, whether you talk about the roads debate. And in the end, really, we didn't have a gas tax increase because of Jace Bolger. So he had an impact on that in that regard. Elliot Larson, there was a push for that. He considered it, decided he didn't want to go that way in the end. Detroit, he was involved in the Detroit bankruptcy thing, really saw that through. But overall, it seemed like he had a control of this caucus, and he never really let it get away from him.
Yeah, I mean, he really spoke for his caucus, and a lot of caucus members were really happy with the way he handled the road situation in the last few weeks in terms of really fighting against the large gas tax increase that had passed the Senate. And on the Detroit package, I mean, this is a guy who visited Detroit multiple times this year. He has a now kind of infamous photo of him doing a cannonball into a pool in Detroit that he helped get done with Representative Santana. So, I mean, he really, as far as the big issues go, he really touched on just about all of them.
Another person who was nominated for a House Member of the Year, the House Appropriations Committee Chair, Joe Hoffman. Once again, we see, and maybe we do this to emphasize the budget, but to show how the budget process was successful this year in getting done in a reasonable fashion, relatively uncontroversial. But he took an issue up this year, Craig, that nobody has ever really wanted to touch. Didn't get what he wanted in the end through it, but he was able to get something, and he raised the profile of the issue. Some.
Yeah, I mean, without Joe Hoffman, I don't think that this issue of sentencing reform would have been in the spotlight this year. He really put his reputation on the line, put maybe his political future on the line, and said this is an issue that lawmakers need to do something about. And he put it in the spotlight. Ultimately, he didn't get done what he wanted to get done. But still, he drew a lot of attention to an issue and could be laying the groundwork for some future work on that subject.
And then another nominee that we have on the list is the House Energy and Tech Committee Chair, Eric Nesbitt. I think that he kind of turned out to be a bit of a lightning rod with some of the legislation that he put out, be it the renewable energy and whether burning tires is really a renewable energy. But he did bring these issues into focus, but that's not necessarily why we nominated him.
I think the main thing that he did this year was that he was the campaign chair for the House Republicans, and he took the majority from 59 seats to 63 seats in a year where they potentially could have lost a couple seats by the way the map was shaping up. So not only did he lead the caucus campaign operation and do that in a successful manner, but he also rose in the ranks of the caucus itself, becoming the floor leader in what was a contested race in the caucus.
So for our listeners' benefit, this is our fourth year nominating a House Member of the Year. The last 2 years, Mike Shirky has been the House Member of the Year, and in our first inaugural House Member of the Year, it was Jace Bolger. This year, our 2014 House Member of the Year is John Walsh, the Republican out of Livonia. And Craig, really the main reason is he took a real controversial issue in the Detroit bankruptcy, worked on both sides of the aisle, calmed that Republican caucus down, and got something through the House and passed that really didn't create a ton of stink. And when it really had the potential to be a major political fight.
Yeah, I mean, it had passed by an overwhelming vote in the House. People were applauding on the House floor when it was done. I think he just handled the issue with a lot of class, and people really respect John Walsh. So when he takes up a controversial issue, he knows how to get it through and kind of put down some of the flames that could be going around it. I just remember some of the committee meetings he held on the Detroit package when he would face, you know, 30 reporters after it was done. He would just answer the questions calmly, answer every question anybody had, and just stand there and really explain what this package was. He really has quite a skill for that.
It's amazing how he can just suck the politics right out of
something.
That's
a good way of putting it.
And really make it about the policy. And it's not necessarily just about Detroit. It's about anything that he touches, whether it was the Joe Louis Arena bill or the M1 rail, rape kits to a certain extent. It seems like the if John Walsh is involved in an issue, John, the Democrats immediately take it seriously and they want to participate in it.
Well, they do. He's a serious practitioner in public policy. But getting back to the issue itself, though, the Detroit piece of legislation, the grand bargain is going to be what this legislature, I think, at the end is going to be judged on, probably maybe even more so than Rhodes, when history comes back to look at this group of lawmakers. That is going to be the most impactful thing they've done.
So John Walsh is our House Member of the Year. Congratulations, Representative Walsh. And interesting that he gets this on the way out the door because he is term limited. Will be replaced by another great up-and-coming state lawmaker in Laura Cox, but we'll talk about that on another day. Okay, let's proceed on to Senator of the Year. And Emily, thanks for coming back and joining us to do the Senator of the Year, since you covered the Senate for at least half the year for us this year.
Oh, I'm glad to. And they were fun to cover for half of the year, and Lauren's got a full take on the other half.
Well, let's start with your nominee then. The first nominee that you offered up was Senator Mike Knopfs from Battle Creek, and tell us why.
Yeah, so Senator Knopfs diffused the situation around the AT&T bill, I think, as we slugged it, but the Senate Bill 636, allowing for the transition to more modern infrastructure around phone lines. There were a lot of questions when that bill was introduced, and of course, like the AARP and several groups came out pretty strongly against it, and you know, it changed a lot, it evolved a lot, and I think that was a testimony to how he was willing to work with people to make it into good policy.
Because when it first started, the idea, the thought was that people were going to come into the homes of elderly and yank phone cords out of the wall, and that really wasn't what it was about, but I think Knopfs kind of got to the heart of the matter, and even though it didn't get passed in 2013, like I think AT&T wanted, it got passed in 14, it ended up being something that wasn't a heck of a lot of rancor about, because he was able to tone this down and get the sides involved.
Yep, and another thing that I've heard people speak highly of him for is the work groups he's been holding on PA 294 and 295. opening those up for the first time since 2008. Those are energy efficiency and renewable laws. So, you know, I've heard from every side of the energy spectrum and from every side of the political spectrum that he's really taking everything into consideration and wants to have a thorough debate and lay a really good knowledge foundation before the legislature actually looks at opening those up.
All right, so Mike Knopf's one of our nominees for Senator of the Year. Another nominee that we have for Senator of the Year, Arlen Meekhoff, the Senate Majority Floor Leader, who will be the Senate Majority Leader here in probably, well, I guess if they come back into session on the 15th or thereabouts, John, he will be the leader at that point. But really, he took a leadership race here that could have been contentious and really made it a no-doubter. I think everybody knew that Arlen Meekhoff would be the next Senate Majority Leader by... what, March? The beginning of the year?
I was going to say at the latest June, certainly. And, you know, and you look at the numbers that they walked out of the general election with. They've expanded their numbers as far as their caucus. They own absolutely every piece of real estate that it is reasonable for a Republican to hold in the state. So he's sitting in a good position, really.
And he is at the end taking a position on the no-fault debate, and that looks like something we're going to carry through to next year. But he's kind of boiled down this debate into some key issues, and it looks like some issues that the sides can agree to, and maybe we could see some action on that next year. It's interesting, Lauren, when you talk about Arlen Meekhoff, about the size of this caucus, the Republican caucus, because at the beginning of the year, the thought was, well, maybe they'll lose one, lose two, they'd still be in the majority. They didn't do any, they gained one seat.
Yeah, it's looking really good for next session for the Republican caucus, and Meekhoff obviously had quite a bit of a role in making that happen.
Another senator that we're going to nominate for our Senator of the Year is Judy Emmons. She is the leader of the human trafficking bills, Craig, that we saw a lot of this past year. It ended up being a 22-bill package. I think she got her name on maybe one or two of those, but that's to say that she only got a name on one or two doesn't really speak to her passion and her initiative to get this thing through.
Yeah, she was really kind of the spokesperson for this movement to reform all these laws on human trafficking in the Senate. She held press conferences. She was out in front on this. She put it into the spotlight. So really, she may have only gotten one or two bills on this, but really, she probably was really responsible for about a dozen of those bills getting through the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Emily, if she doesn't start this thing, does this go through?
I think a lot of states, especially Republican lawmakers, are looking at the issue, but she really did just take it by the horns really early on. She was with Bill Schuette when he announced that he wanted to look at it. And, you know, she's told me before, like, being from Sheridan, Michigan, perhaps you don't see a lot of human trafficking. But when her eyes were opened to the scope of the issue in Michigan or the potential scope of the issue in Michigan, she just really felt passionately that it was something that she wanted to lead on. And I think she did so effectively.
All right. Very good. So Judy Emmons, also a nominee for our Senator of the Year. Our next nominee for the Senator of the Year, Rick Jones, the state senator out of Grand Ledge. He's your state senator, isn't he, John?
He is my state senator. And,
I think we nominate him every year.
I think, that's what I was going to say. Granted, some of his bills are very narrowly tailored for a specific purpose, and sometimes that purpose is to get public attention. But by and large, he's a very productive senator. He gets a lot of bills through, a lot of public acts through, chair of a powerful committee. And you know, as a sentimental guy, this is the second time he's come to the defense of Christmas, putting that nativity scene up on the grounds, going every night to get it. Boy, that's just great stuff.
Well, let's take a look at some of the things that we're talking about here that Rick Jones had through his committee. The top thing that he was really pushing for was this food stamp reform. I guess we don't call it food stamps anymore. We call it bridge card. But limiting and making sure that people aren't abusing bridge cards when they go into stores. It should be used to buy groceries and not be used as collateral to end up buying alcohol and smokes. And so he was kind of leading the charge on that. He was also in charge of the revenge porn stuff, Lauren, trying to stop people from taking advantage of a personal situation and soiling somebody viciously online. That's an interesting subject he took up. There was also that situation in Adrian where we had this military man who was in a submarine and was not able to come back to Michigan to talk about his child custody issue. And the judge said, basically, too bad, so sad, I'm going to rule against you. And he took up that issue as well. So in general, you can't debate that this guy is an active. I mean, as far as our criteria again, let's go back to it. Effectiveness, level of activity, and impact, Rick Jones hits all three.
Yeah, you definitely, say what you want about Rick Jones, but he has a great success rate in the Senate just for what he's able to put through, and he's always been very vocal about the issues that he cares about, and, you know, he's going to continue doing that.
All the other lawmakers are maybe running 5Ks, and Rick Jones is running a marathon in terms yep. of level of activity. But also accessibility. I mean, people can make fun of, oh, he's always, you know, on TV and he's always being quoted. But really, accessibility is an important part of being a lawmaker, too. And if you can get your feelings out there and be engaged with your constituents, whether that's John or someone else, that's a positive.
I tell you what, I'm never going to complain about a lawmaker who returns telephone calls in a prompt manner. And
immediately.
Yeah, we never have problems getting callbacks from Rick Jones, and so we certainly appreciate that. But we're going to get now to our Senator of the Year, and for our listeners' benefit, again, this is our fourth Senator of the Year. Past Senators of the Year include Tom Casperson in 2013, Roger Kahn in 2012, and Mark Jansen in 2011. This year, our Senator of the Year is going to be the Senate Majority Leader, Randy Richardville. I know we've said before on these that we don't necessarily like doing leaders if there are other members who kind of stand up, because it's easy for a leader to kind of emerge as being maybe the most active because they're in that leadership role. But I want to go over some of the things that Randy Richardville has done and has kind of led through. And Craig, you mentioned the minimum wage proposal. And this was something, again, that this would have been on the ballot, a 10-10 minimum wage. And Randy Richardville stood up and said, you know what, let's try and find something else we can pass through law. It was his bill that basically repealed the minimum wage law so that we could create a new minimum wage. And that ended up getting through. And you could say that it was sneaky and whatnot and undercut the voters. And I think there's an argument to be made there. However, the fact is he got it done. And again, going through our list here, effectiveness, level of activity, and impact, I'm going to start with you, Emily. He really did an amazing amount of stuff that you don't usually see a leader do.
Absolutely. You know, I think that one of the roles he played was kind of tempering some of the proposals that came out of the House. I would use the RFRA as an example. Recently, I kind of put his foot down on that. And then, you know, when it comes to larger policies, obviously he was instrumental in getting the roads package passed. If he had his way, it would have passed in, what, June?
Right.
And then also, you know, he got through the Senate, you know, the large gas tax increase that, frankly, I think a lot of people thought it was impossible to get through that caucus. So I think that he has done a lot of heavy lifting and taken on a lot of projects that maybe other people would have shied away from.
Well, an interesting thing to point out about Randy's record the last year, too, is he is probably the only Republican I can think of in the Senate that could have convinced his colleagues to vote for a $1 billion tax increase. Now, understand it didn't go through, but still, when you think about that caucus and getting them to that point, it's a pretty good indication of his ability to move a caucus.
Let's talk about some of the other issues that he championed. They didn't all get through, but he raised the profile on term limits, even though that didn't get through again. The presidential primary, that's a bill that needs to be done, and I think because of some inner chamber issues, that didn't get through. The McLaren issue, again, was brought up. Pawnbrokers. The Farnham building, that is going to change, though, Lauren. The Senate, because of something Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville did, is going to move into Capitol View here in a couple of years.
They're going to move.
All right, so our Senator of the Year this year is Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville. Congratulations on that. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of MERS Monday. Next week, we are going to go through our Democrat of the Year, and we've got several nominees for that. That was a very lively discussion. And also, we're going to go through some of our other categories for Best Of for 2014. Until next week, thank you, Lori Macanandi, for those unbelievable cookies.
You're referring to the sugar cookies.
The sugar cookies with a frosting?
They look fantastic.
Did you get those?
No, I'm going to take one on the way out, even though I don't work here anymore.
So moist.
You better get them, because we might. Jacob's downstairs. He might have gobbled them up.
You're not allowed to leave the building with one of our sugar cookies.
Unless she agrees to return a food product.
There we go. And it better not be kale or something you've grown in your backyard.
Yeah, or any of that nasty stuff you left in the fridge on your way out the door.
What? I don't remember.
No, that kale experiment that was in the refrigerator.
I baked you guys cookies over the years.
That's true.
That is true. That is. All right. Until next week, take care.